first year we went to Dragon Con, we had some people give us advice, which I think is awesome. So there was a lot of discrepancy on, do you bring your big cosplays or do you not? And the first year, I only brought Amazon cosplays, like things that you could just buy and wear, because I trusted this source that said it's not a big showboat con.
Right.
And that person was so, so wrong. Like, pack your fun cosplays. Like, obviously, like, bubble wrap it. Like, do whatever you gotta do. But bring some of your cool stuff. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Joining me today in the back of the canoe, steering with his oar, is Adam Williams Astro.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining me again today.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be fun. Nice little impromptu episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be super fun.
For those of you that don't know, I had a little bit of an oopsie, and the last episode that Adam and I did together, I accidentally forgot to send Adam's microphone audio to the editor.
Because who cares about what I have to say? I mean, honestly.
Well, I mean... Then I just won't have you on the show.
We'll yeah, that's all right. Okay, end of episode. We're done.
But my editor, while I was at Dragon Con, was like, I don't have this person's audio. So it created a whole thing. The episode went up late for, one reason or another. So I wanted to gift you a bonus episode as my condolence. So I hope those of you that are listening or watching accept my apology. We are still so new to the podcasting space. We haven't even been up for a year. So, you know, mistakes will happen. We appreciate those of you that are subscribed from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about Dragon Con today because so many of you are subscribed onto my other channel called Dare Wears. And I did a video where I kind of gave you a visual synopsis, a visual look at what Dragon Con is. But we flip-flopped really hard from our opinion last year to this year.
Really hard, yeah.
Like, we went from Dragon Con haters to, like, Dragon Con lovers.
I mean, I wouldn't say haters, but we definitely had a negative connotation around Dragon Con. I wouldn't say we hated it. We didn't hate it enough to not go again. You know, we wanted to give it one more solid try, but it definitely didn't seem like one of the cons that we were either used to or what we're looking for initially.
Yeah, it just wasn't. It's a con like no other in multiple ways of the sense, and we still went, tried to convince a bunch of our friends to go this time, but they all were super busy, had last minute things come up, so we wound up going again, and now it's like our favorite con.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, there's enough things there that it's like it has everything that I think we like about the other cons, plus a few things that are missing from the other ones. And yeah, there's a bunch of stuff there that we're not interested in, but that's the beauty of Dragon Con, I think, is that there's something there literally for anybody.
Yeah, so let's dive into that today. First of all, I want to give a huge shout out to Jeremy Tyndall. This is actually his drawing of the Fallout suit that he initially drew and then had turned into a wearable garment, and he actually gave this to me for free at this con, which was incredible.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tyndall.
Yeah, it was so nice of you, so thank you so much for gifting me the free outfit. And also, Adam's got like a really cool outfit on today that he wore during Dragon Con as well.
I mean, I don't know about cool. I mean, it's yeah, we got a Fallout hoodie on, and it's, I think the working Pip-Boy is more of the really cool thing. And yeah, I'm trying to get it by the mic so you guys can hear all those sounds that you're used to if you're used to playing Fallout. Yeah, super fun. A little map, yeah.
Fallout nerds.
I know, such a huge Fallout nerd. My whole living room is all Fallout. You guys don't even know.
So cool.
Fun. Oh, weapons, what do we got? We got gas mask with goggles, a 10mm pistol. Everybody loves their 10mm pistol from Fallout.
Oh, for the audio listeners, do you want to describe what you're wearing on your arm and why it's special? Because yeah. Otherwise it's a bunch of sounds that they're like, great.
What is that? Yeah. Well, I mean, the sounds I made, if they've ever played Fallout, they'll recognize it and instantly. It's the Pip-Boy that came with the special edition from Fallout 4. With the exclusive app that came with that as well, that you can run on probably older models of phones. I saved this one from when Fallout 4 came out just so I could keep it with the prop, but it still works. It's a great idea. But yeah, really, really cool. You could actually sync it up to the game and operate all of your in-menu stuff with the Pip-Boy on your arm instead of having to go to the one in the game.
So cool.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know much about Fallout, but while we were group meet, I will. I'm getting there. I started watching like the first episode, but I stopped at like a weird time. So I got to get back into it and I want to play the game. But while we were at the Fallout meetup, because if you don't know, like most cons, they have like big cosplay meetups where they'll plan like big franchises. Like they'll do Marvel, DC, Hasbro Hotel, Fallout. They'll plan like a 1 hour photo shoot outside on these like massive steps. And while we were there, all the other cosplayers dressed in Fallout were like really impressed that you had a working Pip-Boy, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, which I was kind of surprised by because there's so many people that are DIYers out there that build all of their own stuff. I was kind of surprised that I don't think I saw anybody else with a working one that actually did this, that you where you could go through the menus. There was a lot that had like LED lights and, you know, like movable parts and all of that stuff that were crazy screen accurate, which was amazing. But I didn't see anybody that was running any software that actually ran like this one did, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you're so special. Mm. Aw. Okay, so Dragon Con, let's talk about, let's dive into, I bumped the microphone. I made a bullet point list here, but I don't really like want to go off the list. I want this episode to be like super chill and just like kicked back because Dragon Con is very chill, kicked back as well. And I just want to like give people tidbits of why we flip-flop so hard. So the first year we went to Dragon Con, we had some people give us advice, which I think is awesome to know what you're getting yourself into. But one of the big things that was misconstrued to me was that initially when I was in Orlando, Dragon Con was seen as the builder con. Like if you had the most amazing cosplay and you wanted to compete, that was the con that you would bring your big builds to. But another individual told me that this is not a con to showboat your cosplays. So there was a lot of discrepancy on do you bring your big cosplays or do you not? And the first year, I only brought Amazon cosplays, like things that you could just buy and wear because I trusted this source that said it's not a big showboat con.
Right.
And that person was so, so wrong. Like, pack your fun cosplays. Like, obviously, like, bubble wrap it. Like, do whatever you got to do. But bring some of your cool stuff because, like, my Leafeon, you wouldn't think would pack and travel well, but it did, and people loved it there. Like, they were mad over it. And, like, I know you brought Alistair from Hasbro Hotel, and that took a little bit of, like, figuring out how to pack it and bring it. And
the wig was a bitch, yeah. Ooh, I mean, the wig was a problem. Yeah, the wig was a problem.
You can swear. It's fine.
I always forget.
Don't bleep it. It's fine.
I always forget.
You'll say the wig is a big fish instead or something silly. But yeah, it's so hard to like pack your intricate cosplays, but I highly recommend bring your impressive stuff because people get so excited over it. And for us as now builders and like really diehard fans of cosplay and wearing outfits outside of Amazon, which there's nothing wrong with it, but for us, that's like half the excitement of the con is like geeking out with somebody over your outfit, their outfit, because it's so cool or screen accurate or unique. So in my opinion, I highly think a lot of the reason why this con was so much better for me, Dragon Con this year, because I chose to bring big special cosplays. So I feel like I got a lot of the connecting with the fellow nerds over certain cosplays and builds.
Right. Now, do you feel like this year compared to last year that you saw more photographers and more media presence? Because I remember from last year that was something that we had both noticed in comparison to some of the other conventions that there didn't seem to be as big as a push for the media presence and for the social media stuff and everything. Do you feel like because I feel like there was a lot more of that this year than there was last year. I feel like I noticed way more photographers or whatever, but I don't know if that was just because we brought better cosplays and because we were stopped more for photos, or like, do you think that was an actual thing, or am I just noticing it different because we got stopped more?
So I have a theory on that. It's because we were in the wrong place at the wrong time 80% of the time last year.
Okay, so it was us that sucked. Great.
I think so a little bit because, okay, hear me out. We did not know about the church that, like, I couldn't even describe to you where it is, But there is a shoot location that there's like a church further down, and then there's like this pillar.
It's like the big archway thing. Or the,
yes, what the archway.
They called it, wasn't archway, gazebo.
The gazebo, like, it was like, that's what they called it. Which, it's so not a gazebo.
No, like when I hear gazebo, I think like, oh, like you're grilling out in your backyard. Yes. Like this thing was like 80 or 90 feet tall of solid concrete with Roman pillars. Like it took a very experienced contracting company a considerable amount of time to build this thing.
Yeah, insert Fallout pictures here that we took. So the big reason why I feel like we didn't see photographers last year or last year and we saw them this year is because we had somebody who went, hey, all photographers, we're meeting here for these photos, met us all there, and then we networked. So then we got to meet more of the photographers because we were in the right place at the right time. Where last year, I was trying to ask a bunch of my cosplay friends that were posting that location. I was like, where is that? Where are all these photographers? What's going on? And like, no one got back to me, which I understand. At a con, you're busy. You're not going to check your phone. But I never got answers till this year. So,
I mean, and to defend them, I had the worst signal at Dragon Con. Like 80,000 people trying to use all of the internet in the same space at the same time was a bit laggy.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I'll stand up for them a little bit. But it also felt like a little shady, in my opinion. I felt like a lot of people were trying to like gatekeep certain things,
which is kind of the antithesis of the cosplay community, which is so known to be so open and welcoming and educating. I mean, I have found in a lot of my own construction projects that all of the information is not only out there, but there's people mm-hmm. who are passionate about it that are willing to talk to you about it and walk you through stuff for free mm-hmm. just because they enjoy the thing just as much as you do.
Oh, for sure. Definitely in that sense. But I feel like once you're at the con, there's this like overarching, I don't want to use the word animosity. It's more like there's this vibe that like when someone's wearing the same outfit as you, it's negative. There's this feeling of like, oh, but if I'm not getting the attention from the photographers, like someone else will be. Like there's a little bit of like a competition aspect with it. And maybe that's just me. It could totally be me. But I definitely felt this year we happened to be in the right place at the right time. So we saw a lot more photographers. But I also will agree with you on what you said, that like we were not wearing photographer-worthy cosplays last year. We were wearing like Amazon attempts at cosplays. Like, again, not saying that they don't count, but like I personally don't like wearing Amazon costumes at a cosplay convention. And I've been cosplaying since like 2015, 16. So to me, it feels a little... it's a little stunting for me personally because I've been in this industry for so long.
Yeah.
But for people that are just starting out, hell yeah. Grab yourself an Amazon cosplay, wear it to the con. Like, no one will judge you. I just personally would judge myself if I, you know what I mean? Like, you, when you're in it for that long, you want to advance forward. You don't want to be stagnant. So last year when I only brought like Woody, I know I wore that. I wore like a Yandy, like bunny hutch, like because they have a bunny hutch party, and I made it into like a Ditto bunny, but like no one got it. And that's again a Yandy Halloween costume that I wore to a cosplay convention.
Yeah,
you know, so I just don't think I had the right. I think I was given bad advice.
It's
I was
okay.
given bad advice.
Yeah,
but that was like a big like for me personally what changed the con this year. To piggyback off of that, we got in to the cosplay a lot earlier. Like, we flew in a whole day earlier than last year.
Yeah.
Correct? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, we did. Because I think last year we landed, I want to say we got in the day that you could do badge pickup, because I feel like we picked up badges the same day. And that it wasn't that big of a deal, because by the time we had gotten there, everybody else had already been through and gotten their badges.
See, I thought we waited in a long line last year, too.
Really? And I don't feel like it was that long.
Hmm. Have to read.
Like, I remember eating the donuts. I remember getting donuts afterwards last year because we were like starving. But this year it was long, but it didn't seem that bad. It was what, 45 minutes, an hour?
No, it took an hour. An hour or two. But it took us 45 minutes to get inside the building. So it's It was a long wait outside, but a short wait inside.
That is one of the things I will say about Dragon Con that doesn't seem to appear in any of the other cons, is it is like the line waiting con. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope that waiting in line is your favorite ride, because you're going to encounter it like 10 times a day, every day. Like, there's a line to get your badge. Mm-hmm. There's a 3-hour line to get into the convention floor, which doesn't exist anywhere else. But it's just because they literally have one entrance to the whole thing. You're going to wait in line to eat. You're going to wait in line for the elevators. You're going to wait in line to use the crosswalks. I think that was one thing that we did right last year that I feel like we did a little bit worse this year. Is that last year we were a lot better, I think, about going outside and walking in between the hotels outside, because like you can go right down the stairs, walk outside, and then walk right back up to the stairs to the main party floors on all the hotels. Mm-hmm. Whereas there was a couple times that we were waiting like 15, 20 minutes just to go across the crosswalk.
I disagree on that, because I felt a lot safer being inside the con.
Okay.
Anytime we stepped outside this year, I hated it. It was so bad. It was like catcall city. So in my opinion,
okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I would rather wait 10 minutes inside in a steamy skyway than feel like I'm in danger outside.
That makes sense.
And also, jumping back to like arriving a day early, because I didn't get to
I
think it's important to arrive a day early for this con specifically because of the hotel craze. Like, there's three main hotels. So it's like the Marriott is what we call the rib cage. There's the Hyatt, which is where things used to be bumping, but it's not so much anymore. And then what's the other one?
The Hilton.
There's like other like hotels that are off on their own little island. Like the Westin is one where they hold a lot of the events.
The Sheraton.
And then there's the, the Ritz. Yep. So there's other like host hotels that are fine, but they're a bit of a walk. And this year we stayed in one of the main three. And I think that was, like you were saying, a lot less walking on the street, but I loved it. Like, if I can stay in one of those three going forward, I'm thinking it's only going to get better, because I don't do well walking. Like, my feet are very sensitive for some reason. So to me, staying within the hotel bounds, not being, you know, being inside where people kind of know cosplay is not consent, I felt much safer and a lot more energized that way. But you're saying that you preferred walking on the street last year over this year.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying about the catcall thing. Like, I was there, I was hearing you get harassed, and it was horrible. I mean, anytime we tried to walk anywhere to any restaurants that were kind of outside of that main area was definitely a hassle.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like the times when we would dip out of the Hyatt and walk across the street just to get into the Marriott, where you're literally crossing one street. You're going 80 feet at most. Where it would be a lot faster to go outside and connect between the hotels that way than it was to actually use the skywalks, because you'd be waiting forever.
I agree, but also I think that's like part of the fun. You like
wait, God.
That guy had like the boombox and he was like playing music, and that was really fun
for like the first 10 minutes.
Okay, I thought it was kind of fun. I thought it was a little bit like, we're obviously not partiers. We should have clarified that from the beginning. Oh no. Okay, so. The big overarching thing that I've been telling a lot of people, because one, they were very confused when we showed up and they were like, didn't you hate this? We were
you
like,
guys hated this, yes.
We didn't hate it. We just said it wasn't our vibe. That's very different. But two, there, like most things in life, there is a spectrum of like the umbrella of cons. Like, why do you go to a cosplay convention? You know, is what you have to ask yourself. And for us, a lot of it is, at least for me, it's the networking, it's the getting to know photographers, getting to know other cosplayers that, like, build their own things, and also it's a lot of, like, just meeting other people, and, like, I guess that is networking, but, like, there's just something different about cosplay conventions. Like, everyone's in a good mood, they're there to have fun. Like, it's not very strict, like, well, what do you do for a living? It's very much so like, wow, you built your own armor. What a cool process. Do you show it on your YouTube channel? It's like, it's just so like cross-pollinating, meeting other creatives. It's inspiring. Now, the first year of Dragon Con, we didn't get to do any of that. It was very like 0% because we were in Amazon clothes, which is what it is.
Yeah.
But we kind of have found that like there is a spectrum for Dragon Con where it's like, are you the 3 a.m. party ravers? Because That is a lot of what Dragon Con is for most people.
Yeah.
It's party con. It's line con. It's like, if you like big crowds and you're an extrovert, this is the con for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's eccentric. It's out there. They really accommodate. Like, it's made by congoers for congoers. Gowers?
Gowers.
For congoers.
For damn congoers.
So they have a good time. Can you tell I'm having sangria right now?
You're having port, not sangria.
Port. Oh, my gosh. See? I'm having too much.
It's good port, you guys.
It's very good. But, so there's that end of it, right? But, like, I don't live in party land, you know, like that's just not me. I don't go to raves, nothing against them. I just don't do that. But then there's the other far side where it's like, there was like a board game event that we went to last year. Cause we were like, maybe it'll be fun.
Yeah. You know? Like onesies and full chess. Size, like chess and like giant human sized tic-tac-toe and everybody. Yeah. Like the most wholesome thing you could possibly think of for adults. Yeah.
And we barely found the middle ground with the ribbon game last year. Like, we barely got our feet wet with the ribbon game. Actually, yeah. I want to show last year's ribbons in a second. But we found that last year, like, halfway through the con. And we were like, where has this been the whole time? But we still went to, like, the cosplay competitions. We saw one last year, and we saw one this year.
Yeah, last year I think we did it was video game-based cosplays last year, and then we did anime-based cosplays this year.
And we loved those two things from last year's event.
Yeah.
But because we, like, put all of the events in our mind, we put them all out as a puzzle, and we were like, okay, we need to find more things like the ribbon and more things like the cosplay competition. And I think that's also a huge part as to why we enjoyed it this year, was that we found that middle ground, that we meet other people that are similar to us and enjoy the same events like us.
Yeah. And for the record, based with all the Amazon stuff we've been saying, I still wear probably somewhere between 30 and 50% of my stuff turns out to be Amazon. I mean, if you look at my Alistair outfit, the majority of that was purchased from Amazon, and then some additional 3D printer builders that did the staff. But I think the real big highlight of my Alistair outfit is the wig, which was made by a professional wig maker who used to do...
Jay Mills.
Yeah, Jay Mills. Thank you so much. You're absolutely incredible. You do amazing work. So I think that's one of the things to keep in mind, too, is that if you're not at a point where you can build your own stuff, or if you're not at a time where you have the time to build your own stuff, it's okay to do the Amazon thing and just include a few pieces here and there, because I had gotten a ton of attention with my Amazon with my Amazon Alistair outfit, but it was because of the props and it was because of the wig. So even if you can't afford or don't have the time to do a full extravagant, completely self-made build on something, it's okay to do Amazon stuff with some custom pieces that can be highlighted for the outfit.
I 100% agree and back that up. I feel like I give a lot of crap towards Amazon stuff. And again, it's because I've been doing it for so long. So it's a little bit different for me. But I do think getting your feet wet starting off with Amazon stuff is totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Back to the ribbon thing. I have 27 from the first year that we went.
27.
Which is like cute.
We felt so good about it too. So I remember we were like, we didn't find out about the ribbons for 2 days, but then we like really hit it the last 2.5 days and we felt so good about the ribbon thing. We were like, look how great we did.
I mean, but like, let's be real. We did pretty, for the fact that we brought no ribbons to trade, 27's pretty good. We had nothing to give. That was the first year.
Yeah.
So around my chair, you can see that there's multiple parts of this year's ribbon. So, Adam, I hope you have a really long story to tell while I count this, because that was also another question on Dare Wears. So people wanted to know, how many ribbons did I collect this year? And it's going to take me...
Well, I counted mine when I got home, and it was 171. I initially thought it was 168, but I found a couple more in my bags when I was unpacking. Some good stories. So last year when we were leaving, towards the end, I want to say it was either the last day or the second last day, we had met this girl. I'm not going to call her out on the cosplay on the podcast. There we go. That's some good port, you guys. I'm not going to call her name out on the podcast, but we had met her, I want to say, on the second last day or the last day, and she was the badge winner of last year. She had won the year before that, where she had collected either the most badges or the longest badges. They do a couple different categories. But we had met her on the on one of the days, and we were like, oh, she's really great. And then we saw her on the plane ride home, and that she was actually moving to Los Angeles, where we are. And we were like, oh, this is really funny. We ran into you. We met you. Now we're flying back with you on the plane. A year goes by. Neither one of us talks to her at all. And then on the plane ride out to Dragon Con this year, there she is walking right past us. And then we ran into her a bunch of other times. She stopped and had breakfast with us at the airport once we landed and, you know, kind of helped us out at some of the ribbon exchanges and stuff and featured us on her live streams. So you know who you are if you're watching this. And I just want to say thank you. We love you. You're an amazing person. It was really great that you capped off our Dragon Con last year and then proceeded to start off our Dragon Con this year. It was a really great moment for me. Now I flipped back to Darren. She's still counting, so that means that I still have more stories to tell. 70. She's still counting.
I'm at,
Let's see.
170.
Some of you guys know that I build my own lightsabers. The lightsabers were really, really well received while we were at Dragon Con. We did have an instance where a very popular, I will say, very popular social media marketing brand of lightsabers was there and had asked us to pose for photos, and we respectfully declined, mainly because I had purchased one from them last year, and that was actually the thing that kind of kickstarted me into wanting to build and program my own lightsabers. It was something I'd always wanted to do for probably almost a decade, but didn't really have the kick in the butt to do it. And then after spending a bunch of money and getting a product that wasn't quite what I was expecting, I felt like that was the time to do it. And now I've built four lightsabers and programmed all four of them, and I'm working on a very specific, very private project for a very large UK cosplayer right now that I will hopefully be able to feature in the next couple of weeks. So if you guys watch, see me on Instagram, look for that. All right, back to you, Dare.
I have the number. How many did you say you got?
I had 171.
Oh.
I feel like you beat me. I feel like you probably beat me.
I did.
You did. Okay.
I got 187.
Wow. I didn't think you beat me by that much. Okay.
Yeah, I think you might be missing a strand then. That's kind of a lot. And we did a good job of, like, dividing and conquering.
Yeah. I did. We did have a couple moments where my ribbon ended up splitting up. Like, I lost it a couple of times where I was wearing mine like a scarf instead of the badge beard. And I had a couple of times where it definitely fell apart. So there's a possibility that I lost some.
Yeah. I definitely want to hot glue mine so that way they stop falling apart. But 187 compared to, like, what, 27?
Yeah.
We did pretty good.
Yeah. So that's a con tip. If you guys go to Dragon Con, bring hot glue or duct tape for your badge beard.
Yeah, duct tape seems to be, like, the more popular way that people use it, which, like...
I would imagine it's because hot glue doesn't take to flying. Once it goes out in the upper atmosphere, it loses its adhesion. So when you land back to wherever you're going, all your hot glue is basically useless.
That makes sense.
There you go, chemistry.
Yeah, dang. Okay. Another thing that I have written down, weights for the con in order to, like... You're going to have to wait, like Adam said. You're just going to have to wait for things. But one thing that we did learn is showing up an hour to, like, an hour and 30 minutes early to an event will guarantee your entry. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people won't line up that long for it. And if you don't, you might either miss the event, which we didn't, like, miss any of the ribbon trading events. But we definitely were in the second grouping of the ribbon trading events. And it was more beneficial for us to show up for the, like, the first half of it, because then we saw other people that took the ribbon trading seriously.
Super seriously.
So it's kind of up to you on how you want to, you know. And if you want better seats at, like, the cosplay competition, obviously you want to show up early so you can sit closer. We were like 30 minutes early to the anime one that we saw this year, and we were still pretty far back. So
yeah, we had to wait a pretty decent amount of time. Yeah.
Which I wasn't mad about. Like, no, not at all.
I like talking to the people in lines and stuff. And I mean, that's one of the I think if it wasn't for the fact that everybody at Dragon Con and a lot of conventions is so outgoing, or even if they're not outgoing, they're in a lot of people go to these places and dress in costume because they're introverted or because they have a lot of social anxiety, you know, issues, and they find themselves in an area where they can be themselves and they're accepted for who they are. So you have a lot of people that are really, really willing to talk to you. And honestly, like, 99.9% of the people at all of these cons are really, really great people.
I couldn't agree more. I also wrote down, waits on Friday are long for the con floor, but worse on Saturday.
Yes, true.
And Monday is dead. So, this con has a very interesting way that it works because the con doesn't start till like, what, Wednesday at midnight, right? But you can't get your badges till Thursday, and the Amerimart, which is the location that all the vendors are at, it's not open till Friday, right?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I found very confusing was that Dragon Con advertises that it goes from Thursday until Monday.
Right.
But Thursday is the badge pickup day, mm-hmm. and the actual convention floor where all the vendors are selling stuff doesn't open until Friday. So I guess it kind of depends on what your definition of, like, when the convention starts. Because even Wednesday morning or afternoon when we got there, there was already a ton of people in the hotels in costume and partying. I mean, a lot of people were already half in the bag by Wednesday afternoon.
Which is kind of fun to watch, not going to lie.
Yeah.
People watching is always great. I also have group shoots are fun, but not necessary.
Yeah.
So if you are somebody who loves a certain fandom, though, and you're looking to meet other people that love that fandom, go to the group shoots. That's the perfect place to do it. But in my opinion, because we got put in the way, way, way back of the Fallout group, which is what it is. Like, we weren't going to the group photo to, like, be in front by any means. But, yeah, I don't feel like they're necessary, but I do think it's a great way to meet other people that like the same fandom as you. By the way, there was no Pikmin group photo, so we'll salty
about sounds
to that.
Me like she needs to start one.
Salty. I'm very salty about it. Pikmin's just, like, the unsung hero of Nintendo.
But you got so excited every time any vendor had anything Pikmin, and I bet they loved it, because you had a bunch of people selling Pikmin stuff, probably like you, where they did it because they loved it, not because they thought it was going to sell. You know, and then for them to see you get all excited, that was probably great.
I got so much Pikmin stuff this time. So much. I got, like, a pin, so much art. It was really great. I also have no what day. Oh, this is tea. Okay. Okay. Let me preface this.
I don't even know what you're talking about yet. And I'm excited.
Okay. If, hear me out. If you are somebody who tries to avoid wearing the same cosplay as most people, right? Like, you want to wear your Fallout cosplay on the day that they're not doing the Fallout group shoot. So that way, your outfit stands out, so to speak. Know what day the group shoots are happening so you can avoid matching other people. If that's something you care about.
Right.
In my opinion, you got way more attention. You and I both got way more attention as Alistair and Charlie at San Diego, because there was no group shoot at San Diego. But when we went to Dragon Con, I don't feel like we got a lot of attention, praise, networking opportunities, chit-chatting with people, because we happened to dress in those cosplays the same day that the group shoot was happening.
Right.
So we were probably like the 30,000th Alistair and Charlie they saw that day. So if that's something you care about, I would definitely do some research on that.
Yeah, but to be fair, we were unique. I mean, with my wig, with both of our wigs being made by Jess, and then I think you were probably the only Charlie that was in latex, so you definitely stood out.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I feel like if you don't understand making, like, a lot of people will look at what I was wearing, and they won't realize it's latex. Like, if they're not familiar with, like, fashion and, like, fabrics, it just looks like another person wearing a cosplay. So I agree with what you're saying, but I also disagree, because I don't know.
Okay.
Like the day that I wore Velma, I wore, like, the full Velma in latex. And we did get a lot of, like, chatting with people. They thought it was really great. A lot of people asked me about, like, oh, aren't you uncomfortable in the latex? And I'm like, no, it's not that bad. But we didn't get a lot, because, again, it's the concept of wearing a very popular cosplay costume.
Right.
People just don't get as excited. Like I feel like I got the most, like, compliments and, like, chit-chatting with people probably as Leafeon.
I'd agree. I think I would agree.
Yeah. And I feel like last year was Articuno.
Yeah. I make a perfect freaking Shaggy, though, let's be honest. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you stole the show. Oh, here we go. For Saturday. Saturday is the worst day to wear your biggest cosplay. Like, if you've got wings and horns and props and stuff that are huge, maybe don't do it on Saturday, because Saturday is, like, back-to-back slammed people. Like, we could barely walk around the hotels because it was slammed. Like, we couldn't get a drink.
Yeah.
For, like, what, an hour?
Yeah, and I mean, it was literally, like, a 25-minute wait to cross the skywalk. I mean, you're talking something Skybridge. That literally takes, Skybridge, yeah, something that takes 30 seconds to walk through, and it would take us 25 minutes to get through it.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, the hotels are all connected by the Skybridge. I don't think we ever really said that.
Yeah.
So the three main, we're doing this, this episode's all over the place, and I'm not even mad about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, this is what DragonCon, yeah, this is a very good representation of the DragonCon feeling, is that yeah. everything's a little bit all over the place.
Truly. So all three of the main hotels that we listed off earlier are all attached by what's called the Sky Bridge, which is basically like a bridge that is like windows so you can see out onto the street.
Yeah, but it's also confusing because the Marriott's technically in the center. I guess think about like a water molecule. You got your H2 and your O, right? And it's like you got one in the center and then you got two coming off of the other one. So if you want to go from the Hilton to the Hyatt, you have to walk through the Marriott. And the Sky Bridges are on different floors too. So the connection between the Hilton and the Marriott is on the second floor, but the connection between the Marriott and the Hyatt is on the fourth floor.
Right.
Super confusing.
But maybe next year I'll wear like a GoPro and we'll do like a POV, you walking around at Dragon Con. And then we could like,
yeah,
I don't know, do something about that. Because like that took us the longest time last year to figure out.
Yeah.
But this year we got it. Like as soon as we stepped in there, we're like, we know this place.
Yeah. It was like, I remember this.
We know the way. Yeah. I also wrote down, people get creepy on Saturday with a sad face, so.
Was that because we were walking outside so much? I mean, people were really creepy to you. Like you mentioned earlier, they were not super polite to you outside.
I just think Saturday, if you are somebody, like, if you don't deal well with people being drunk and yelling at you, which, like me, I don't deal well with that. Long story, well, I don't want to tell the story. Past trauma, people getting drunk and yelling at me and being inappropriate. Maybe consider Saturday as like a get up and do all the fun things in the morning, take a midday nap, go do some fun things till like 12, 1 o'clock at night, and then just call it. Because people get, like, once 9:30 hits, people get just sloppy drunk, which is totally cool. I'm all here for it. This is Party Con. This is Dragon Con. Have your fun. But if you're somebody who wears like skimpier cosplays, if you're somebody who really, you know, if you're just, I don't know, a whammon. At this con, Saturday evening, be careful. People got real creepy on Saturday. Was truly the peak creep day for me.
Yeah, and Saturday is definitely the day that sells out the fastest and the most. So, like she was saying earlier, like Saturday, it's crazy because it's like it's the day when there's the most people there, and it's the day when some people are bringing their biggest and best cosplays, but you don't necessarily want to do that because that's going to be most likely to get damaged on that day too.
Yeah. I also have for next year that we should consider bringing a whole nother suitcase, kind of like I did this time. Like, not quite completely empty, but as empty as you can. Because for us on the West Coast, we don't get to see all the artists that are typically all on the
East Coast.
Oh my gosh, I had to think about it. On the East Coast. So a lot of them at Dragon Con, we don't see all the rest of the year. So we're really treated so well at the Amerimart on that, like, floor, because there's so many artists that we never see and we only see them once a year or whatever.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend bringing like an extra piece of luggage where you only fill like halfway so you can buy whatever your heart desires, because the artwork there this year was like stellar.
That is one of the things I will definitely say I like on Dragon Con versus some of the other cons, is that they really do a good job at keeping almost all of their artists on their fourth floor on Artist Alley. Like, mm-hmm. with some of the other cons, it is nice that you'll have some of the bigger, you know, more popular artists on some of the main floors, but just having everybody grouped on one floor for one specific thing makes it a lot easier, where you can be like, hey, this is the day that I'm going to go and check out artists, and you don't have to worry about buying trinkets and stuff for your house. It's like, this is the day that I'm going to go shopping for art. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the artists, especially towards the last couple of days when most people had already seen them, they're really open to talking to you. And I mean, these are all of these artists are people who have been drawing for some huge IPs and huge properties. And I mean, like, even, you know, Jeremy, like, who designed your suit, I mean, the Spider-Gwen and the Venom-Gwen suits that are all over the internet that everybody's used to, that's a design that he did as well. And it's really cool that you get to meet these people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I highly recommend going on Monday if you stay the whole duration of Dragon Con. That was the best day to talk to the vendors. Granted, it's not as long of a day for them, but I feel like Monday and Sunday, right? We went in on Sunday?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I feel like we did.
Those are the best days to, like, chit-chat with them.
We did the floor, I want to say, Friday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yes.
And Friday was, like, the worst line day for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Well, because we, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a long line, but I mean, it's, you know. But again, you get to talk to a lot of cool people, and you get to see a lot of cool costumes while you're waiting. So it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, the whole thing was pretty... I don't know. It's like people will always complain when they're waiting in a line, but also that's what, like, makes people talk to each other. Like, we stood in line for the Amerimart. I think it was like an hour the one day in, like, the worst heat. And the two women in front of us were talking to us because they had been to DragonCon, what was it, like 13, 14 years or something?
Something like that, yeah.
It was insane. Like, they had been so many times. And then we were just like, well, since you've been so many times, like, what is your favorite event that you go to? What do you enjoy the most? And then they told us all these different stories of all these different things that they did. And it was super cool. Yeah, it was just, I feel like this year was just so different. And even on the day that we were checking out, we were, like, lugging our crap down the stairs or whatever the heck we were doing. There was this couple in front of us going down the stairwell. And they said the exact same thing that we said the first year we went. Do you remember this?
Kind of. Remind me.
We were on the way out or, like, going somewhere. I want to say it's when we were checking out. And we had to, like, lug our stuff down the staircase because of whatever the reason was. This couple was in front of us walking out. And they were saying something like, I don't get, like, the hype for this con. Like, I don't really understand. Like everyone says that this is, like, the con to go to, but I didn't really have that good of a time. And I legit was, like, us last year.
Yeah.
Totally us last year. But I didn't want to interrupt because they were having a conversation. But if you do decide to go to Dragon Con, the first thing I recommend is download the app. Everyone will tell you that. They will tell you to download the app. But the thing is, take the time to learn the app. It tells you when you star these events. It adds it to your schedule. So pan through the events, star them. Go through the events and, like, type in keywords. Like, if you like watching cosplay competitions, type in cosplay contests. It'll tell you all of them, when they're going to be, what the genre is. If you like karaoke, I think we saw multiple things for karaoke this time. We just didn't participate in any of them.
Yeah, there was a lot of it going on, though, even though we did, like, a really sad karaoke last year, then we did a really good one, if I recall.
Yeah, because we did one that was put on by the con, and then we did the one at the diner.
At the diner, yeah.
Which both were cool. It was an experience. So, yeah, check out the app. Everyone will tell you that. And there is a panel. That's the word. Oh, my. This wine is. Woo.
Yeah, it is portin'.
It's portin'. There is a panel on, like, the first day or, like, second day where they're like, welcome to Dragon Con. And they will tell you nothing. They're like, download the app and join the Facebook group, which is great. But, like, I'm telling you right here and right now, take your time on the app. Like, the first day you get there, read all the things and try some events that you don't really know what you're getting yourself into. Because we went to the Fallout meetup the first year and it was great. And the second year, it was not great.
It was not the same thing, yeah.
There's no way to really tell how good the events are going to be. So just go, like, get there an hour early, get there 30 minutes early, figure out what it's all about, and if you don't like the event, just dip out early and then go find someone else to go do, because there's literally, for every one event that's happening, there's like 14 others in 14 different locations.
Yeah, there's so many things going on that, I mean, it's almost overwhelming. And like she said, get to use the app. Like, I was using the app, she was using the app much more efficiently and much better than I was, but that's because, to be honest, in my opinion, the UI of the app is a little bit convoluted. There's a lot going on. There's a lot in front of your face. It's not super organized super well, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So I think that would be one of the biggest recommendations would be download the app a week ahead of time, because most of the events aren't going to be updated until kind of last minute anyway.
Right.
So if you're trying to do it like 6 months beforehand, all you're going to see is all the events from last year's con. But like, I think they said that they update the app, I think 3 or 4 weeks before the main event. So up to a month and at least a week before you go to DragonCon, get the app, figure out how to use it, add the stuff to your calendar that you want to go to. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing for me was learn the layouts of the hotels.
Yeah, because that's even hard though to do when you're not there.
Even though we knew kind of more where we were going, once we were inside the hotels, a lot of them would be like, oh, there's a 5 o'clock meetup of this thing in this room. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, oh, I just have to go to that hotel and go to that room. Well, you get to that hotel and there's no signs that say where this room is. And they have signs to different towers. But like, I think that would be my biggest beef with the hotels themselves is that they don't have nearly enough signs pointing out what rooms are in what towers of what locations. Because even though we talked about the three main hotels, each of those hotels has separate towers.
Right.
There might be a north tower, a south tower, an east tower, a west tower, and an event might just say it's like, oh, it's in the skibbity skibbity room 506, and you don't know what tower skibbity skibbity is in, and none of the hotel maps tell you. So like, figure it out. You know that skibbity skibbity room is hard to find.
Oh no.
Yeah, we're just on you while you're drinking your wine right now. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great.
No, it's so great. I want to go to the Skippity Skippity Room.
The Skippity Skippity Room was the best.
I also will say, sometimes events are so overcrowded that they'll line you up for them early. So, like, the Ribbon Meetup, if you watch my Dare Wears video, we got in the first group for the Ribbon Swap. But they then took that first group, allowed them in the room to swap ribbons for, I don't even know how long, maybe like 30 minutes.
Something like that.
They kicked us out to bring in the second half. And on the first day when we did the ribbon swap, we were late. So everybody was trading ribbons like outside of the room. And they all were saying like, oh, we got kicked out and like the event already ended and blah, blah, blah. That does happen. That is true. But they do it to cycle out people because sometimes the events are so popular and they can't fit in these smaller rooms. So it also is important. DragonCon actually gives out a handout. They give out two. There's like the 2024 program book. So you get a book like while you're waiting in line to grab your badge. And then they have whatever this is, Quick Start Guide. I haven't read this. But if you go through here, they actually have a page on that you can give feedback. And it's so crucial for certain events that you give feedback so that way they can get bigger rooms next year.
Yeah, and for you guys who are old school collectors, I have to say their magazines and their information stuff is printed on really, really high quality paper. It's got that like magic card or like fresh comic book smell to it. It's good stuff.
DragonCon Awards. All kinds of fun things. So yeah, I wouldn't say pay too much attention to the book, but sometimes it's good to skim through. Another big thing we learned this year, which there's some pros and cons to this. They have DragonCon TV. If you're staying in one of the three host hotels, you definitely have it. If you're staying in one of the other hotels that, like, you know, do the event but don't cater to the event, they might not have it. I highly recommend if there's an event that you're like, I would like to see it, but I don't have to be there in person to see it, stay in your hotel room, drink your wine or whatever it is you want to drink, and watch it on the TV.
Yeah. And if you can't make it, you can get DragonCon TV. And if you can't make it, you can get DragonCon TV. You just have to pay for it. It's like $6 or $7 or something like that.
Like if you're not at the con?
If you're not at the con, you can get DragonCon TV and you can watch DragonCon stuff. You just have to subscribe for like the week and it's like $6 or $7.
Where? What app?
It's like, I think you just go to their
website,
DragonCon TV website or whatever. Yeah.
I didn't know.
I saw a bunch of people talking about that, how you can pay for it even if you're not there just to watch. I'm making so much noise over here.
What are you doing?
I don't know. That port.
The wine is
the port be
like,
porting, you guys.
We're having such a good time. But okay, I didn't know that. That's really cool. My only complaint if you're staying at one of the hotels is that the audio is hot garbage. So DragonCon, if you're watching, because apparently people at DragonCon watch my content. Like, I don't know if the people that run it do. I mean, there was one announcer that was like, I watch all your stuff. And I was like, oh. So if you're watching DragonCon, fix the audio on DragonCon TV. It's so quiet. Like, I have to turn it up so loud in our room just to hear.
Yeah.
But it was such a cool experience because we spent Saturday evening in. And then I was like, I called you from my little, like, hotel phone and was like, Adam, I'm watching DragonCon TV. Come hang out with me in my room. And then you came down. And then we watched the cult cosplay contest.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't know DragonCon as cults. Ooh, we should save that for Patreon.
Cult Con? We're going to save the Cult Con stuff for Patreon? Okay, you guys have no idea. Like, Line Con, Waiting Con, Elevator Con, but Cult Con, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a thing. So yeah. Come join us on Patreon if you don't know. God, I need to promote this in the beginning of the episodes. I'm the worst. So join us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/DeluluCanoePod on patreon.com. We have so many wonderful and lovely patrons. You know what? I'm going to read out their names right now because I never do this and I really want to. And yeah. I'm going to make our editors edit this video so fast because we owe it as an apology to our fans. Let me pull it out right now.
Like, we didn't, there's like, so, I feel like we didn't even scratch the surface of everything.
Really? I feel like I'm burnt out.
Oh, really?
I'm like, I have nothing else to say. If you got, do you want to tell them what your favorite part was while I pull up the patrons?
Well, not when you put me on the spot. I don't have anything left
okay.
to say.
Okay. My favorite part is there was an artist. Her name's Judy Blue.
Oh, yeah, Judy.
She's so awesome. By her art. She's super great. I actually met her at my very first MegaCon. I don't know if y'all know that. It was back in 20. No, it logged me out. What a sinner. It was back in 2015, 2016? No, later. 2019. I was Tafiti. And I still walked. I've talked about this multiple times. And I went up to her booth and I bought a piece of artwork that I actually have on my wall at my gaming setup. And this year, when I had the chance to talk to her, she told me that when she met me and I was Tafiti on stilts from Moana, it inspired her to draw a piece of content that looked like Tafiti because she was like, ooh, people will like this based off my cosplay. That was like something that made me feel so special. And it's just crazy to know that somebody I met way back in the day, before I was popular on social media, before I was anybody, like, I was just a girl who worked at a theme park, who was an actress as a theme park character. And she was so inspired by my first cosplay I ever made that she made a piece of art. Like, that blew my mind.
That's so great.
It was beyond, yeah, I couldn't even believe it.
That's so great. I think that's where my mission is now because, like, I mean, you know this there, that a lot of the cosplays that I like to do, I don't like to necessarily do actual characters.
Right.
I mean, I do. I've definitely done it, but I prefer to find IPs that I like and cosplay as my own character within that universe. So that's kind of, like, my thing that would really make a con great for me would be to have an artist want to draw me in like my Star Wars outfit that I, you know, that I do for my Dark Jedi, that it's an outfit that I put together for me, that I had a lot of pieces commissioned specifically for me, that it's designed to be my own character within that universe and not, you know, just a cosplay of Anakin or something like that. So that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like, I want to keep doing a lot of my own characters within universe and hope that eventually maybe an artist will want to draw me.
That's a pretty difficult request.
Yeah, I know. You know, you got to reach high. You got to aim high.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
And plus, I'm a dude, so that's like already puts a lot of stuff against me, you know?
That puts a lot of stuff against you.
You know, artists want to draw beautiful women in cosplay, not, you know, shitty looking bad guys. Shout out to all the people that I know are probably going to be watching this for sure. Like Rimp and Camus.
Oh my God.
And Bloop. We love you, Bloop. And One Eyed Jedi.
Why can't
I? And Coach. And hopefully Carlotta and Cody and everybody else that is amazing that watches all of theirs content and puts up with my bullshit when I'm on here.
I legit can't find the list of patrons on the mobile. I was gonna list off all of the names of the patrons, but the app is terrible and I can't find it. So but be sure to join the Patreon tier. Please do, because I'm gonna have your name announced at the end of the episode in a template. Eventually we'll get there. But we gotta wrap up this episode because we've been going for way too long. Be sure to join us on Patreon. We're gonna tell you all about the con cults over there and some tips that you can follow next time you decide to go to Dragon Con, because we want to help you out and we're getting a little tipsy, so it'll probably be very unhinged like this episode. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. We'll see you over on Patreon. Come join us right now, please. Lowest tier starts at $5.
Under the Lulu canoe.
Well, who do you relate to this trip?
We went over this last time. I'm always the kitty. It's always the kitty. Doesn't matter what any of them are doing. It's always going to be the kitty.
It's not based on the animal. It's based on the emotion.
Well, whatever emotion a cat is having, that's what I want to have.
So you feel scared about Dragon Con?
Sure, if that's what the kitty's feeling.
You're not playing the game right.
The game sucks. I want to be the kitty all the time.
The game does not suck. Take that back right now.
Chompy just like cut out everything from the last right like 25 minutes.
Nope, keep it in.
Maybe the cat needs to be cooler then.
I designed the logo, so you better watch out though.
And it's super cute and it's amazing, but kitties.
Anyways, I relate to the bear because I'm just shocked that we flip-flopped so hard from it being our least favorite con to our most favorite con. All right, everybody, be sure to subscribe. What is this episode?
Oh, my God.
Join us on Patreon. It's only going to get worse from here.
Yeah.
See you over there. Say Delulu so all your dreams come true, Lulu. And Delulu is also the Salulu. I need another drink. You want to pour me some more?
The Salulu with the Lulu with the wide Lulu.